Welcome to the 73 Dream Studios Variety Show.
All right, and it is time to grapple with Ray. It's going to be a bit more of a quick episode today. There's some small tidbits of news happening throughout the week. Mostly we are looking forward to what is coming next. I do want to take some time, though. Chaotic Wrestling had a show called Consequences in Waterton, Massachusetts, May 13th, this past Friday. I am still awaiting full results from the show. However, I have received word that that independent wrestler known throughout New England, Love Doug, has injured his ankle during a sliding dropkick. The footage could maybe too graphic for some. I watched it, and it did look pretty scary. All of 73 Dream Studios' best wishes go to Love Doug for a speedy and well recovery. He was in action against JT Dunn. I do believe that Chaotic will have the show posted to Twitch at some point. So you guys go on twitch.tv and search Chaotic Wrestling and stay tuned. You can also search for RDog20 and Sizzles01 while you're up there as well. Moving on, also on Friday, May 13th, WWE SmackDown took place in Hartford, Connecticut. We got to see a lot of women's title action going on display. Ronda Rousey had come out and she said that she was going to have an open challenge because she put Charlotte Flair on the shelf when she broke her arm. The woman that would answer the open challenge would be Raquel Rodriguez. I probably butchered that. They had a great match, honestly. Like, this definitely put a showcase on Raquel, even though she did not win. Of course she didn't win. Ronda Rousey has only two losses now in her entire career, both of which happening at a WrestleMania event. But now Ronda Rousey has gone on to defeat Raquel. The big story is it appears that WWE is trying to rebuild a bit because they put a lot of their younger stars in the wayside. Now we're kind of seeing them come forward in backstage segments, albeit, but you gotta start somewhere. So we got to see some TV time for Shotzi, who was complaining to Adam Pearce that she should have had the title shot. She was on her way to the ring. Supposedly Raquel stopped her. But then Aaliyah also made a TV appearance. I know, where's she been, right? And she stated that Shotzi actually locked her in the locker room in order so that Shotzi could get the title shot first, which didn't pan out, obviously. So we're potentially going to get to see Shotzi versus Aaliyah next week on SmackDown. Continuing the women's action representation this week, we got to see Team Boss and Glow, Naomi and Sasha Banks, defend the women's tag team titles against Natalya and Shayna Baszler. Now, Boss and Glow would pull out the victory. Not surprising. Honestly, the women's tag team division is kind of slacking at this point. I wish there was a lot more thought put into it. Like, I'm happy that we got women's tag team titles, but the tag team division actually had like 3 or 4 established tag teams at the time, all of which have now broken up. So I just really wish that there was more variety in there. Like, Natalya and Shayna Baszler, that is a good team. They're both submission masters, but they're getting this title shot when they just became a team like a month ago. So I'm a little off put by all that. That said, another thing I'm worried about is how much longer is Shayna Baszler going to be with the company? We've now seen all 3 of her friends / roommates in the BRE, the best roommates ever, have been fired or simply left. Those 3 being Jessamine Duke, who is now pursuing video games. We have Mia Yim, who recently made her return to Impact Wrestling at their Under Siege event. And you have Dakota Kai, who is... The last I heard from her, she recently got fired, so she's still under a 30-day no-compete clause. However, the last I heard is there is a report that she has filed a trademark to copyright King Coda. So that might be, keep your eyes and ears out, because that may be Dakota Kai's new ring name if the paperwork is filed through correctly. Continuing the slow rebuilds throughout the brand, Drew Gulak, who you've seen featured on TV, I was worried that he was not going to be a wrestler anymore, but I'm glad that was just, you know, just a storyline that they're building up. Like, we've broken Drew Gulak's confidence, so now he's left the ring for 3 weeks, but then he came back last week, got destroyed by Gunther, And he got some backstage camera time with the Intercontinental Champion Ricochet, who also seems to be having trouble getting booked in matches week to week. Odd for a mid-card champion. And then Drew Gulak said, you know what? I'm going to be the version of me that's not going to have his ass handed to him by Gunther. And who does he run into but Gunther? Gunther would then tear off Drew Gulak's new t-shirt, which I didn't even know he had a new t-shirt. Like, WWEshop.com, what's up? Get on the ball. Tears off Drew Gulak's shirt, chops him right into a door. And if the camera had stayed on for a few more seconds, I'm sure we would have seen the handprint. Speaking of tired tag team divisions, we have Fight Night and New Day, who are having a very long, extensive program. And that's just an example of how the RK-Bro and the Usos unified tag team title storyline, it's holding up the divisions. Just like in UFC, when you see two champions that fight each other, when they build up to that fight, you're holding up two divisions, because now your contenders have nothing to strive for while they wait for you guys to sell your business. Now, once again, they're talking about unifying them, but it seems like in reality, it's more of a winner-take-all situation, because the word is that the Money in the Bank briefcase is allegedly only going to be for one of Roman Reigns' titles. So I'm assuming that the same is going to apply to the tag team titles, where maybe whoever wins has to defend them more than once on each night. I'm pretty sure Roman hasn't even defended his titles since he won them at WrestleMania. And now there's all these reports of Roman being taken off of pay-per-view posters, and the WWE is promoting Cody Rhodes as the next big star. Let's face it, Cody Rhodes is probably going to win the Money in the Bank briefcase, and he's going to go on to cash in and be champion. WWE is probably going to hotshot that angle, and they're not going to have him hold that briefcase forever, you already know. As far as Fight Night and the New Day, though, they're joining the list of Alpha Academy, the Street Profits. And those are just the first two teams that came to my mind. But then there's also Lethal Lotharios, the Viking Raiders, who I may or may not just be going back to NXT at this point. I don't know. But all of these tag teams, they're fighting each other. And it's nice to have storylines outside of a tag team title picture. But they're going on for so long because we literally took a tag team unification, quote-unquote unification title match off the pay-per-view. And now we're giving it away on free TV, allegedly, next week on SmackDown, or this Friday on SmackDown. And you're telling me that this is worth holding up tag team divisions for 6 weeks? The tag team champions on either brand have barely defended their titles. Roman Reigns hasn't been defending his title. The only title that was defended at WrestleMania Backlash, which took place in Providence, Rhode Island, the only title match was the SmackDown Women's title match. The Raw Women's title is being relegated to TV. Like, why? These are supposed to be titles that are on the same level as the World title. But then again, the World title hasn't been defended in 6 weeks now. So, what are we saying? Like, I'm just finding the whole way WWE's been structuring their title matches to be very off-putting and very off. And I just find it... I don't want to say off again, but I'm struggling to find the correct word. It's just not right. And something needs to change. So, with that said, the next time the WWE is holding an event in New England is going to be SmackDown once again, and it's going to be July 22nd at the TD Garden in Boston, Massachusetts. It's going to be followed the next night, July 23rd, with I can't believe I'm saying this, but we're going to get a Saturday night's main event in New England. It's going to be at the Total Mortgage Arena in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Following on to the following night, Saturday night, we got to see a UFC fight night. There was plenty of knockouts, a good submission. The big story, though, is that Jan Blachowicz has defeated Alexander Rakic. Rakic has injured his knee and dropped to the ground after attempting to put weight on it early into round three. So with this victory, you gotta think Jan Blachowicz could feasibly challenge the winner of the Taihara Prochazka title fight. I mean, the light heavyweight division's been nothing but veterans as of late. Glover Teixeira is the oldest active champion of the UFC at 42 years old. Then Jan Blachowicz, he's found himself on the edge of his contract, almost getting fired multiple times, but he's such a veteran that he manages to come back from underneath every single time. So I'm excited to see the Teixeira Prochazka fight. I don't want to get ahead of the ball here, but Jan Blachowicz is an amazing fighter, and I'm excited to see him challenge for the title once again. That title fight between Tahir and Prochazka is coming June 11th. Joining them on that card are a couple other fights. Valentina Shevchenko is going to be defending her flyweight title against Talia Santos. That's another fight that I'm looking forward to. Valentina Shevchenko could be on her way to challenging either Amanda Nunes or Juliana Pena for the bantamweight championship. If you guys like The Ultimate Fighter, The Ultimate Fighter is on ESPN Plus right now, and it is Nunes versus Pena, so that's going to be a fun fight when those two do eventually clash. I'm forgetting when they're set to clash. I want to say it's July. I want to say it's International Fight Week, but I don't have that note in front of me, so don't hold me to that. And we're also going to get to see the rematch between Zhang Weili and Joanna Jędrzejczyk. This fight had previously happened for the strawweight championship. Let me tell you, this fight's probably going to be a better strawweight fight than the most recent strawweight title fight between Rose Namajunas and Carla Esparza. I have no idea how the judges even scored that fight. It was literally just them standing around doing nothing. Carla basically won because she got two takedown attempts in a total of 25 minutes. So, yeah. But Zhang Weili and Joanna Jędrzejczyk, good God, I'm sorry about that. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, they have gone on to have the what was considered fight of the year in 2020. So I'm excited to see them fight once again, 2022. The only downside is it's going to be a 3-round fight instead of a 5-round fight. So there is that. All right, guys, we're going to take a quick word from our sponsor. When I come back, I'm going to be talking about what's happening with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And we are back. So, the first bit of New Japan Pro Wrestling action came Saturday night with Capital Collision. Now, this card, I'll be honest with you, most of this card I kind of glazed over. Like, I'm a bit new to the Japanese professional wrestling scene, so a lot of these competitors I didn't fully know going in, but there was one match, the headlining match, that I was fully invested in for the United States Championship. And it was a 4-way match. We have the current champion, Hiroshi Tanahashi. We have representing the United Empire, Will Ospreay. We have representing AEW and Blackpool Combat Club, Jon Moxley. And we have the newest representative of Bullet Club, Juice Robinson. Now, for those that may not be familiar, with the United States title picture, there was supposed to be Sonata. Sonata was the United States champion. However, he was injured. I believe it was a broken orbital bone. I may be incorrect in saying that, though. But Sonata was the United States champion, and he had to relinquish the championship. He originally wanted the title to go to the man he had defeated for the title, that man being Hiroshi Tanahashi. However, Will Ospreay said that because he's the man who put Sonata on the shelf, he should get the title shot. Now, originally, there was supposed to be a match between Tanahashi and Will Ospreay at Wrestling Dontaku in the beginning of May. However, due to Will Ospreay testing positive for COVID-19, they had to have a replacement, and it was Tomohiro Ishii who would challenge Hiroshi Tanahashi for the vacant United States Championship. Tanahashi would inevitably win the title. But as shortly after that, Juice Robinson would make his presence felt as he came to the ring. This coming after it was believed that Juice Robinson's contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling had expired. He came in, he attacked him, and it was revealed that Juice Robinson has signed a contract extension with NJPW and has officially joined his former rivals in Bullet Club, now going by Rock Hard Juice Robinson. For people who just don't know much about Japanese wrestling, Juice Robinson is actually, I believe he went by CJ Parker in the WWE NXT, like early NXT, 2013, 2014, or what, sorry, 2012 to 2013 NXT. Yeah, that sounds right. He was in 14 as well, yeah. Either way. Yep, so CJ Tyler, now Juice Robinson, and let me tell you, he's a lot more serious. And then, of course, most of the American audience will know Jon Moxley. Jon Moxley is also a former IWGP United States champion, as is Juice Robinson. Moxley and Robinson, not unfamiliar with one another when it comes to fighting for this championship. And then rounding them out is Will Ospreay. Will Ospreay is actually the leader of United Empire, a reason why I believed Will Ospreay would go into this match with the victory, because I honestly thought Will Ospreay was going to win the championship at Wrestling Dontaku, but circumstances, COVID-19, he couldn't do it. Now that he's been cleared for action, he's back. And let me tell you, this fatal four-way, this is very clearly the Japanese wrestling style. And it's amazing because every move is impactful. Like, yes, there are these adrenaline-filled spots where the competitors are going super fast, but every move still has an impact. I would argue that if you watch Jon Moxley wrestle a match in AEW and then watch him wrestle a match in New Japan, you can see the difference in style. Moxley knows that you gotta play to the audience, and the Japanese audience likes a certain style, and Moxley was playing to that. His DDTs were more effective. His paradigm shifts had more impact to them, and it made all the difference. This match was absolutely amazing, and it would see Juice Robinson winning the United States Championship and walking away with the title. Jon Moxley would give a good send-off for the show, though. New Japan will be hosting their own event, Dominion, in the beginning of June, and I gotta think we're gonna see a rematch but it's gonna be Juice Robinson versus Tanahashi for the United States Championship, and then I would say whoever wins that match is gonna go one-on-one against Jon Moxley at the event. It's called the Forbidden Door, and New Japan Pro Wrestling is going to be co-hosting that show with All Elite Wrestling. So it might be a good chance for Jon Moxley to try to win back the United States Championship. Maybe throw Lance Archer in there, because Lance Archer was the United States Champion at one point. So I feel like that would be a very good match for that show. Speaking of New Japan, though, New Japan is starting a round-robin tournament. It's going to be absolutely fun and bonkers. It's called the Best of the Super Juniors. This is their... I don't even know. I want to say this is their 20... Is this their 29th? Yeah, it's their 29th year having the Best of a Super Junior tournament. And it's the first year since COVID that it's going to be by itself, because in the past couple of years they've had to co-promote it with the World Tag League tournament. But now it's going to be just the Super Juniors, which means plenty of more room. We've got 20 different competitors, and 10 of them got to compete. Met this past Sunday, May 15th, like 5:30 a.m. for us, but that's, you know, New Japan World. Get New Japan World. It's 999 yen, which it translates to like $8. So it's worth it, though, because you get a lot of neat action like this. In the Best of a Super Junior Night 1, Block A action. That's right, the 20 competitors are split up into blocks. I should probably explain how the tournament works. Basically, in Block A, there are 10 competitors, and all the competitors will wrestle, like, one person will wrestle 9 matches, and it's always against all these different competitors. And it's going to be like every victory gets you 2 points. And at the end of the tournament, the person in Block A with the highest points faces the person in Block B with the highest points. That winner is considered the Best of the Super Juniors. It could earn themselves a future shot at the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, which is currently being held by Taiji Ishimori, who recently defeated El Desperado for the championship. And both El Desperado and Taiji Ishimori are in this tournament, albeit in separate blocks. Now, as we go into Block A, the action began with Impact Wrestling's X Division champion, Ace Austin, defeating LA Dojo graduate Clark Connors. We got to see independent wrestler Alex Zane defeat New Japan's Yoshinobu Kanemaru. We got to see the United Empire's new Italian patriot, Francesco D'Akira, defeat Sho in his debut match with New Japan Pro Wrestling. We got to see Hiromu Takahashi defeat Ryusuke Taguchi. Very fun fact here, Hiromu Takahashi is a 3-time winner of the Best of a Super Junior. 3-time? Yeah, 2018, 2020, and 2021, I believe, is when he won it. So, if he wins this year, he will be the first competitor in New Japan Pro Wrestling history to win the tournament 3 consecutive years. So that's going to be impressive if he can pull that off. He does have some tough competition, though, especially with the junior heavyweight champion Taiji Ishimori defeating Yo to move on. Now all 5 of these men have 2 points. On the other side of the block, let me pull that up real quick. Block B, Best of the Super Juniors, 2022. Let's see here. Yep, Best of the Super Juniors. Best of the Super Juniors, 29. Let's see here. Da, 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 da. I know, great content, guys. Great content. 2022. All right, Block B is going to see Master Wato, Robbie Eagles, Titan, Bushi, former champion El Desperado, Dookie, El Lindemann, AEW's Ring of Honor Pure Wrestling Champion, also representing Blackpool Combat Club, Wheeler Yuta, representing the United Empire of the Filipino-American TJP, and representing Bullet Club is El Phantasmo. So we got a lot of interesting things along both blocks. We got a lot of foreign competitors, or Gaijin. We have a lot of champions, because the Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Champions are also in this tournament, as is the X Division Champion. We have the Gleet Champion in El Lindemann, the Pure Champion in Wheeler Yuta. We got a lot of stuff going on here, and I'm super excited to see it all go down. So with that said, a lot to look forward to. Best of the Super Juniors is happening over myriad days. Matter of fact, by the time this airs, night two will already be happening, because this airs at 6 a.m. Tuesday, and night two starts 5:30 a.m. our time Tuesday. Night three will be tomorrow, Wednesday. Night four will be Thursday. Night five will be Saturday. It goes on like that. If you guys want even more looks at the schedule, go to NewJapanWrestling.com or simply go to New Japan World. You gotta have I'm gonna tell you right now, you gotta either have a PayPal or you gotta have a credit card. And yeah, your best bet is to have a PayPal. That's what I had to do. I literally made a PayPal just for this, just so I could watch my Japanese professional wrestling, because these guys are really freaking good. So that's my opinion of the day. I have a very special announcement before we wrap up today's episode. Impulse Pro Wrestling is coming back, and it is going to have its first ever show in the state of New Hampshire. It's going to be August 19th at the Hillsboro Deer High School in Hillsboro, New Hampshire. It's to celebrate the 250th anniversary of Hillsboro, New Hampshire. It's going to be exciting, and yours truly is going to be making an appearance as Clark Dion, the ring announcer. So that's going to be tremendous fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a blast. You're probably going to see a lot of great competitors. I have no confirmations on who's going to be there, but you got to think maybe, probably, likely, the Impulse Pro Wrestling Heavyweight Champion, the Masshole Mike McCarthy, may indeed be there. Again, I'm not in the booking committee, man. I don't make these decisions, but you gotta think the champion may, like, as long as there's no tragedy, obviously, the champion will be there. But make sure to buy your tickets, guys. I'm going to try to leave a link in the description of this episode. I'm also going to try to leave links to my Linktree so that you can follow me on Twitter. You can follow me on Twitch. I recently retired Sifu, so that's fun. But you'll also, as far as wrestling goes, you can see me play WWE 2K22 almost all the time on there. And I'll leave links for anything else that I feel is needed, because now I run this show and I can do that. All right, guys, so I do have homework for you for next week's episode. Next week, I'm going to be doing a mystery motel, trying to get JP on with that, but we'll see. We're going to be covering the Maltese Falcon, specifically the 1941 film. All right, so if you have HBO Max, you can watch it on there. It's available on HBO Max. So if you have HBO Max, go check it out. It's like hour 41 minutes, I think, hour and a half to 2 hours, whatever. Otherwise, you're likely going to have to rent it. I do not have HBO Max anymore, so I'm renting it, actually. I'm literally spending $5 to rent this film just so I can talk about it on this podcast, because that's how dedicated I am. JP's going to be coming in, and then, of course, we will have a comic chatter on Doctor Strange in 2 weeks, May 31st. Mark it on your calendar, and you better see it in theaters by then, because, oh my God, is it worth it. All right, guys, this has been tremendous fun, a wonderful episode. I hope you, albeit a short one, I hope you guys enjoyed it. I hope you guys are looking forward to next week when we cover the Maltese Falcon. But until then, check the description, share your love with yourself, with those you hold dear, and to a random stranger on the street, because they might think it's weird, but you might have just made their day. Until then, everyone, enjoy the rest of your day.